That's where we're going to find our text this evening. Aren't you thankful for his love?
Amen.
And his love teaches us. It's actually the love of God that leads us into to holiness, to everything that, we long to be in and through Christ. And so praise God for his amazing love. Matthew 7, verse 21. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll get into the text. You guys ready to go? Everybody okay tonight? It's good to be here, isn't it?
Amen.
And we're grateful for an opportunity to gather in the middle of the week.
Amen.
And I know your spirits are willing. We just pray that God will teach us through his word. So I'm going to ask Brother Bildon, if you would, lead us in prayer before we read. Amen. Here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.' Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Amen. Please be seated. We started talking a little bit Sunday about having a home that returns to and stays in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's just been on my heart so much, I couldn't really get away from it, and I really just had this on my heart, the reality that we need a firm foundation.
Amen.
And when the foundation's strong, then the storms, they don't matter.
Amen.
When the foundation's strong, the storms don't matter. And we know that there's storms in this life.
Right.
Now, I don't think there's any way I get through tonight without talking about the election at least a little bit. I told you Sunday that before the election, it was likely that there were people, I mean, not likely, I know, there were people on one side who thought if one candidate won, then the country would end. And there were people on the opposite side of the spectrum who thought if the other candidate won, the country would end. And people, and that's evident. If you paid attention in the world today, there are people who have been devastated. The world is crashing down. It's all over now. And other people on the other side are rejoicing as though Messiah has come. And I just want you to understand tonight that Jesus is the only Messiah.
Amen.
He's the only hope of salvation. And whatever your feelings about how the election went, however shocked and dismayed you may be one way or the other, I'm just here to tell you that salvation is only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have a unique responsibility in our country. Our founding fathers had wisdom to establish the Constitution the way that they did, that this would be a nation that was governed of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Amen.
And I just want to let you know that just because this election's over doesn't mean that our work is done. We need to be praying. We need to be in touch with our leaders. We need to be emailing them, calling them, petitioning them to do what is right and to legislate justly at every level. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, elections are what they are, and however it goes, our work doesn't change, our responsibility doesn't change. And here's what America needs. America needs Jesus.
Amen.
America needs the gospel of Jesus Christ at every level. And I hope you pray with me that our current president would repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
And that our current vice president would repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
And that their administration would repent and believe the gospel. And I hope you'll keep praying that. Can you imagine what would change in this nation if we had presidents and vice presidents and cabinet members who were born-again Christians? Can you imagine how things would be different? And we ought to hope for that, long for that, pray to God for that. So, I don't know. I just felt like I couldn't go through tonight. I mean, it was kind of a big deal, a bit of a big deal. Kind of a historic, really honestly, a historic election last night. And so I just want to remind you that our hope is in Christ.
Amen.
And it's in Him alone. And that's what we want to call for. That's what we want to get back to. So we're talking about this concept of getting back to the gospel in our homes. And our hope is going to be bound up in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the gospel. That's individually, and that's as families. That's as a church. That's as a community. That's as a nation. It all has to come back to the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. There's no hope any other way. And so we start with this. We have to obey the gospel. And we know from Romans chapter 10 that only happens when we hear the gospel. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we call on His name. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, God has sent us so that we can go and tell the world, so that they can hear, so that they can believe, so that they can call on His name. And whoever prays from a heart of sincerity and asks God to forgive them and asks God to save them, whoever calls on the name of Jesus, believing in Him, He always answers that prayer with yes.
Amen.
He always answers that prayer and saves and gives life. And so we have those here in verse 21, 22, 23. And these are those who say, Lord, Lord, with their mouths, but it's empty on the inside.
Amen.
It's somebody who says the right things, and they actually do a lot of great things. Outwardly, they have all of these things that look really good, and they're even doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. But just saying His name doesn't save you. He has to know you, and you have to know Him.
Amen.
And the way that you know Him is by faith.
Amen.
So we have to start with that, always with that. We have to be obedient to the gospel. And so the question for everyone in the room and anybody watching online is, have you been obedient to the gospel? What does that mean? It means, have you turned away from your sin and unbelief and put your faith in Christ alone?
Amen.
Because we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And there's no other way. Amen?
Amen.
So that's where it has to begin. And then we get to this picture that the Lord gives us. And really, it would be so good if we had the time to just go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and study through the whole thing. But I just want you to get this. If you want to have a life that is blessed by God, and do you?
Amen.
Do you want to be able to weather the storms of life?
Amen.
Let's see, Jesus isn't teaching that trouble's not going to come. Jesus is teaching that you can survive the trouble,
yeah,
that you can endure, that you can stand strong. He's teaching you that there is a way to live your life where you can endure the storms of this life and the floods and the wind that may come. You can endure that, and there's a way that you could live your life where you will not endure, but you will fall.
Amen.
That's what the Lord's teaching. And so we want to live right, and we want to have a life that can endure, and we want to build our lives in the right way. So He says, whoever, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
Now you remember that Jesus' audience at this time was primarily Jewish, and you might know, the more you study your Bible, that there are things when Jesus is teaching, He's almost always pointing back to something else. You guys know that, right? Yeah, how many of you guys know what a hyperlink is? Just go like this if you know what a hyperlink is. A hyperlink is something if you're on the internet and you see something highlighted on the internet, you can click it and it takes you somewhere else. Brother Steve's like, yeah, I know exactly what that is. Okay. I understand that some of you have no idea what that is, and that's okay. But if you get on the internet and you're browsing through something, you're looking at one thing, you can click on something and it'll take you somewhere else. And really, that's what the Lord does sometimes when he's teaching, at least in the Jewish mind, people who knew their Bibles, their Old Testament scriptures well, when Jesus starts using some of this language that he uses and saying some of the things that he says, what's happening is he's highlighting some hyperlinks in the minds of the Jews that are hearing him, and they're remembering other scriptures. Now, we don't know our Hebrew very well, and we don't know if we're just really honest, we don't know our Old Testaments very well, and sometimes I think we miss a lot because we don't see it. But let me just make a couple of suggestions to you. If you'd open your Bibles up to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. Can anybody guess who's teaching in Deuteronomy 32? Moses. Did the Jews think much of Moses? Well, yeah, they thought a lot about Moses because God called him up into the mountain, gave him the law. He saw God. He spoke with God face to face. There was nobody like him. He was meek, more meek than anyone on the earth, and he spoke to God in a way nobody else had. God gave him the very words of God, and he had a relationship with God like none other, and God used him to lead his people in an incredible, amazing, marvelous ways. And so they looked up to Moses. You say that? And so the people would revere Moses and the words that he taught. Deuteronomy 32 verse 1 says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine, my teaching shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O ye foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee, that hath bought thee? He, hath he not made thee and established thee?" Now I'm just making a suggestion to you. That when the Jews heard Jesus say what he did about his words, about his teaching, and about building a house on a rock, and about the floods coming, that it could be that some of them might think about what Moses said in this great song. And if you'll go on, and if you were to go on and read the rest of it, he's going to talk more about that rock, and he's going to talk more about wisdom and foolishness, and he's going to talk about those whose rock is God and other nations whose God was not the same rock, and how that judgment was going to come to them. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching here at the end of his sermon. And he's saying, "Hear my words and do my words," and it's going to be building your life on a rock, and when trouble comes, you'll survive. But if you don't build your life on my words, if you hear them but don't do them, then you're going to be building your life on sand, and when the floods come, you're going to fall. Amen. And it could be that he's pointing back to what Moses said. I want you to get this too. He's talking about the wise and the foolish. And if I were to just say to you, think of a book in the Bible that deals with the wise and the foolish, what might you think of? Proverbs, gold star. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Find verse 20. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. So this is one of the poetic books. And Solomon, when he writes Proverbs, He talks about wisdom. He personifies wisdom as a woman, that she was there with God in the beginning. He incorporated wisdom into the creation of everything, and that wisdom is walking around the earth crying out for anyone to come. Like, wisdom God has placed in his creation, and wisdom is available, crying out so that you would come and get wisdom, and that you would walk in wisdom. and that God has a way for you to live your life that's better than another way, which is without wisdom, which is foolishness. Amen. So we come to verse 20, and it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Wisdom is available. And when you have wisdom, there is blessing and there is protection. But what happens to those who reject wisdom? What happens to the simple and to the foolish who reject the wisdom of God? Destruction comes like a whirlwind. Amen. Okay, now go back to our text, Matthew chapter 7. And verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Okay, I want you to get this. When God began to give his word to people like Moses, the Jewish mind, they saw him as one who had the authority of God, who had the wisdom of God, that was different. He wasn't just like any other teacher. God had done something different in him. God had given him a special authority in his life. Okay? This isn't just that Jesus spoke with confidence. This is Jesus spoke as though he had been given this truth directly from God. The way Jesus talked was different.
Amen.
Everybody can see that? Okay, so they saw that God had given that authority to Moses. God had given something special to Moses, and the Spirit of God was with Moses. And remember, when he spent all that time with God, when he came down, what happened to his face? Yeah, it was glowing like a glow stick.
Amen.
And he had to put a veil on because the people were freaked out by it. That was weird. But he had spent so much time with God that God's glory was shining off of him.
Amen.
So Moses was different. And who would you say was the wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus? Wisest man who ever lived. Would you say that the Jews would understand Solomon to have been given authority by God? That there was something different about him? That when he asked, when God said, ask what you want and I'll give it to you, he said, I am but a child and I can't do what you've called me to do. I can't lead this two people. They're too big. They're too great. It's too many. I need you to give me wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for power, I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody's ever had wisdom, and I'm going to give you riches and power too. You guys remember that? So I want you to get this. When they read the words of Moses, they understood that they were getting the word of God himself with great authority. And when they read the words of Solomon, they understood that they were getting wisdom like none other. And now Jesus has brought this multitude, has come to him, and he teaches them this great Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of it, he says, I want to tell you something. If you'll hear my words and you'll keep them, you are like a wise man building your life on a rock. And you will not fall. And I am persuaded that what Jesus was doing, these Jews had always looked to Moses. They would look to the scriptures. They would look to the law and to the prophets and to the songs and the poetic language. They would look to all of those things, the scriptures. And Jesus was putting himself on that level and saying, my word is the word of God. That's what he's saying. He is making no question about it, about what his claim was. And here's what he says. If you will build your life and your home on my words, when the storms come, when the rains fall and the floods come and the winds blow, you will not fall.
Amen.
So what do we need to do? Well, first of all, I want you to notice these two men. You've got the wise set against the foolish. and the difference between them. Notice the houses are the same, aren't they? I was thinking about putting a picture on the screen of a house, but then I thought, they've probably all seen a house before. So maybe you could just picture a house in your mind. But when you drive by a house, do you know what kind of foundation it has? I mean, not unless the walls are cracked and they're falling down. When you drive by, you don't know what kind of foundation it has. You don't know what lies beneath the ground. And in this picture, these two parables, these two tiny parables he gives us, the houses are the same. You can't tell by looking at them. As a matter of fact, I would say the way that they built were very similar. In Jesus' day, they usually used rock, and a lot of times from what I've read, it was volcanic rock that they would get. They would gather together, and they would shape it. They would put it together in blocks, and they would stack it up, take smaller rocks to fill in the holes, and they would build. Most of their houses were built out of rock. And they would build these houses out of rock, and you just get this picture in your mind. These are houses near the sea. And if your house is on a rock, well, it's going to be up high above the sea. Amen. Where's the sand usually? That's usually a little closer to the water, isn't it? Amen. And so you got these two houses, but you can't see what the foundation's like, but you get an idea that one's in a safe place and one isn't. So we see the houses, but the only difference is the foundation. One's wise and one's foolish. The foundations are different. The houses are the same. I want you to notice this. The storms are the same. It's like they're in the same area geographically. It's like they're in the same place, built in the same manner. The only difference is the foundation, because everything else is the same. The storm, if you want to call it that, it seems like a storm to me. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. Sounds like a storm to me. The storm is the same. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. It's the same for both houses. So the house is the same, and the storm is the same, but the foundations are vastly different. So what is the foundation? Well, you say, well, it's the rock, so the rock has to be, I mean, you got to go to the Word of God. Like, it has to be, right? Well, we can think about the reality that the Bible says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, that he is the rock. And of course, we know he's the living Word, but I want you to just pay attention to what he says. Jesus says, whoever hears, verse 24, these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Amen. Now the foolish man heard his words too. So it's not in hearing the words, it's in doing what he said. Amen. And we know that we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, James is going to continue on with that whole concept that faith without works is dead, being alone. Can we just say this? Living faith, true faith, always results in works. Amen. Genuine faith in Jesus is going to change the way you live. We agree with that?
Amen.
Okay. We know that we're not saved by works. Right. By the keeping of the law is no flesh justified.
Amen.
We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But can I say this? The type of, okay, how can we say it? Somebody said one time that works doesn't save us, but saving faith works.
Amen.
So we understand that we don't work to be saved, but if we're saved, we're going to work.
Amen.
So this really comes down to evidence. It really comes down to fruit. But here's what I want to tell you, that if you hear the words of Jesus and you're not doing them, something's wrong. If we can hear the word of Christ and we're not moved to obey him, there's a problem. If Jesus says, don't do that, and we do it anyway and it doesn't bother us, something's wrong.
Amen.
If we continually hear from Jesus and hear from Jesus and hear from Jesus and we don't do what he says, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Now, we got to get this balanced, right? Because we just read about one who said, Lord, Lord, and did a lot of great things in the name of Jesus, and he didn't know them. So we have to have both of these truths at the same time, don't we? I have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and my calling him Lord has to come out of a heart of genuine faith because I've been born again.
Amen.
But if I've been born again, then I do call him Lord out of a heart of faith, and I do what he said, because he is my Lord.
Amen.
So build your life, build your home on the Lord Jesus Christ. Kids sing that sometime, don't they? Build your house, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these kids' songs have great truth in them.
Amen.
So what do? Well, we've got to hear Jesus. Number one, both of them heard Jesus. We have to hear him. But when we hear him, we need to hear him personally. What do I mean by that? That means that Isaac Slate needs to hear from Jesus every day.
Amen.
And you just put your name in the blank. You need to hear from Jesus personally.
Amen.
Hey, it's not enough that mom and dad hear from Jesus. It's not going to do it that your wife hears from Jesus and you don't. It's not going to be enough if your husband hears from Jesus and you don't. It's not good if your kids hear from Jesus and you don't. Each and every one of us personally need to hear from Jesus. It's not going to work if you say, well, my dad heard from Jesus and grandma heard from Jesus. No, you have to hear from Jesus.
Amen.
You have to hear personally, and you have to hear daily.
Amen.
How often should you take up your cross and follow him?
Daily.
You need to hear from him daily.
Amen.
Every day we need to hear from them. And we need to hear from him faithfully. I like the word faithfully because I think you can apply it a couple of different ways. When you hear from him, it needs to be with faith.
Amen.
You need to believe. It needs to be real. It's not just a history book. It's not just an ancient book. It's not just good ideas or good teachings. This is the living word of God. And we want to take it like that, that it is, in fact, the very word of God. So with faith and faithfully.
Amen.
Not hot and cold. Not here a little and there a little, but continuously, perpetually. Faith. Fully, we want to hear from him. Because the foolish man hears from Jesus too, but it's not personally, it's not real, it's just externally. It's not daily, it's not continuously, it's not faithfully, it's temporarily. They're going to hear a little while, but it's not going to get down into their heart. Satan's going to snatch it away. It's not with faith, it's doubtfully. So we want to hear believing. You realize that these two houses looking the same, I don't know about you, but I can't help but think about the things that Jesus taught about. You guys remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? They look the same, don't they? And in the parable, the servant says, do you want me to go out and cut down the tares? No, you leave the tares alone. At the harvest, that'll be all sorted out. What does that mean? Well, it means that we don't go around trying to decide who's wheat and who's tares. That's all going to be sorted out at the end.
Amen.
The good fish and the bad fish, they'll all be sorted out. They look the same, but God will work that out in the judgment. So what do? Well, I need to make sure that my faith is real.
Amen.
And I need to make sure that I'm building my life by obedience to Jesus Christ. They both hear, but they don't both obey. So how do we obey? How do we obey? Have you ever tried to do everything Jesus told you to? Read your Bible and just try really hard to do everything it says? I don't know if you've ever tried that, but if you have, you've probably been met with disappointment. Okay, just kidding. You've definitely been met with disappointment. Why? Because so many times we try in our own strength. And here's the two things that we have to do if we're gonna obey Jesus. We're gonna have to surrender to his will.
Amen.
And we're gonna have to be empowered by his Spirit.
Amen.
Surrendered to his will, empowered by his Spirit. You can't do it on your own. This is not you gritting your teeth and trying hard. This isn't you mustering something up. This isn't you making up your mind and really bearing down. This is not you. This is you surrendering to him.
Amen.
And this is you being empowered by his Spirit. Aren't you thankful he's given us his Spirit?
Amen.
He gives us his Spirit to give us power, to give us the ability, to give us the strength to do it. Now, I ask if you've tried on your own, and some of you have experienced that. But I wonder how many of us have stopped trying and started yielding.
Amen.
How many of us have stopped trying and started giving ourselves over to God to let the Spirit work through us? Because if you've done that, then you know, you've experienced how different those things are.
Amen. Amen.
And when you do that, then you start building the right way. Some words really stand out to me in these verses, verses 24 to 27. Look back at verse 24. The second word, what is it? I love that word. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever hears. Jesus came from all. John said that Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone. He came into the world and he gives light to everyone. The question is, are we obedient to what Jesus says? We point back to the Old Testament, point back to the Jews, and Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, those Jews who died in the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it."
Amen.
So we can, anybody hears, whoever hears, whoever can hear, but it's the question is, whoever does, whosoever hears these sayings and does them.
Amen.
Jesus' teachings require a response.
Amen.
He demands obedience. He deserves obedience.
Amen.
And he provides everything necessary for us to be obedient.
Amen.
He demands obedience. He deserves obedience.
Amen.
And he provides everything you need to be obedient. A wise man. Hey, does anybody remember what the beginning of wisdom is? The fear of the Lord, the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That's Psalm 111 and verse 10. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Sound familiar? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what should we be afraid of? Well, listen, back in Deuteronomy 32 and in Proverbs 1 where we looked, what happens is those who reject the rock, refuse to build their lives on the rock, those who refuse to hear wisdom and follow after wisdom, destruction is coming.
Amen.
The flood is coming. But if you build your life, if your life is founded on a rock, then it will not fall.
Amen.
It fell not. But if you build your life on the sand by not obeying Jesus, you guys remember what it says? Verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Amen.
I want your life to stand when the floods and the winds come. I want your families, your homes to stand when the floods and the winds come. I want the same for my life and my family and my children's families and our families after families after families.
Amen.
But it's not going to happen if we don't hear from Jesus.
Amen.
And if we don't obey Jesus. Wisdom is available. And it comes from hearing from Jesus. So how are we going to do this? Well, first of all, we're going to hear from Jesus. So how do I do that? It just so happens that he's given us his word.
Amen.
He's made it available to us. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
This coming year, a couple of months, it's going to be 2025. Next year, we're going to try to schedule. I've invited Brother Chase Reynolds to come. And he's done work in other places helping translate the Word of God into languages where they didn't even have a written language. And he's going to come share about that. Can you imagine being in a place where you couldn't read the Bible? Yeah, a terrible thought. We take this so for granted. You imagine being in a place where the Bible doesn't exist in your language? That's hard to imagine. But God's given it to us. And he's preserved it for us. And it's here for us. And Jesus says, when you hear his sayings, his teachings, his word, and you do what he says, then you're building your life, building your house, building your family on the rock. So I've got to get in the word of God. I've got to study it. I've got to read it. I've got to hear it. And then I've got to do what he says. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but do what he says. So get in the word every day. And what God says to you, do. You say, Brother Isaac, it's too hard. It's not too hard because he's given you everything you need to do it. So tonight we're going to stand together. We're going to end our service with a song. I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we get ready to sing. Merciful Father, I pray that you would bless your word in spite of me. I thank you for how you teach us and how we see the word connected throughout the scriptures from the beginning to end, and how Christ is at the center of all of it. The gospel flows through every page of the scriptures. I pray that you give us wisdom to see that, to understand it. Lord, I know that we have failed you. We've fallen short and we deserve your wrath. But you're so merciful that you put your wrath on your son, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be given life. And Lord, you have given us your word that if we'll keep it by your grace and by the power of your spirit, we can build our life on the rock. We can keep your sayings and we can build our life and we can endure the storms of this life. Father, I pray for anyone tonight who's going through a storm. The waves have come, the wind is beating on their life. I pray that you give them strength. You give them grace. You help them to hear and obey your word so that they can endure and stand. We thank you for your grace. We pray that you'll help and help us to respond in faith and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.